Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimbo.
Hello and welcome to our new midweek TV show, Inside the Huddle, talking all things NFL. We've been a podcast for a number of years. Now we're making this into a TV show. I'm joined by my regular podcast partner, Jeff Rimbo. Jeff, there you are. Jeff, our little podcast, we're on TV with it. We've gone famous, mate.
I tell you what, it is awesome to be able to bring this every week, you know, on demand at Sky and talking ball, not just talking on the airwaves, but you can actually look right into your eyes, Neil, and see exactly what you're thinking.
Jeff, tell us about the importance of the preseason. The preseason games are kind of winding down now. We're getting ready for the season kickoff. I know Atlanta have been very sloppy. Philadelphia's starting offense, 14 drives in the preseason, no touchdowns. Should we be concerned about any of that stuff? How important is what we've seen in the last 3 weeks?
Well, I think, Neil, you know, you'll always have a concern when you can't put the ball in the end zone. I watched the Titans play the Steelers the other night, and I'm going to tell you something, that Titan offense, you know, there was so much anticipation that they were going to, you know, loosen up the reins with Mariota and that they're going to be, you know, start to, you know, move the ball in chunks, which they hadn't done previously. But I'm going to tell you something, Neil. They have a lot of work to do in Tennessee on offense. And you saw that around the league last year. I saw, you know, Buffalo couldn't protect the passer. That young kid was, you know, just under siege by the Bengal defense. And, you know, I think there's a number of situations that, you know, you want to come out of preseason, Neil, feeling like you're ready to play. And there's a number of places right now that I think you have to really, really, really be concerned, particularly on offense.
Doug Peterson, the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, though, Jeff, he said what they were running was very vanilla. So are teams keeping stuff up their sleeve? So, for example, the Eagles, as they go into their season opening game, are they not showing too much at this time of year?
Well, they're not going to, you know, obviously they're not going to have total game plan in because you just don't have time in preseason. But you know as well as I do, Neil, you've covered a number of preseason games and watched the NFL for years. As you get further along in preseason, the first game you don't even game plan for. You just go out and play your vanilla stuff. But as you get further and further into the preseason, you want a game plan because that's how you learn about your young players. Can they handle all the information that's involved in the game plan? Can they execute a game plan under pressure? And, you know, when you go out and you can't score touchdowns, and it was amazing watching last week's preseason games, so few offenses looked like they were ready to put the ball in the end zone and finish drive. I just really think that it's indicative of some of the changes that have gone on in how training camps are run. There's less contact. There are less, you know, full-on scrimmage-type situations. And really, you can't time up an offense unless you're really playing at that kind of pace and that kind of tempo.
Now, of course, some of the big news this offseason has been coaches taking the reins of respective teams. One man who's got a lot of attention, of course, is John Gruden, who's returned to the coaching ranks with the Oakland Raiders, signed a 10-year, $100 million contract. Our Sky Sports team caught up with Gruden earlier this summer to discuss his long-awaited return to the coaching ranks.
It did take something really special, and the Raiders are special. And I never thought I'd be back here. I never thought this opportunity would come again. And now I just got to take advantage of it. It's great to talk about. It's really cool. But now that you're here, do something with the opportunity. Let's get this train on the track. I mean, everybody thinks it's a completely different game. I mean, it's not 1940. It's not 1960. It's 2018. The rules are different. The game is still played by 11 guys. You still have four downs to get 10 yards. The collective bargaining agreement, I think, makes it tough on coaches. There's not much continuity anymore. Players change, free agency's crazy, coaches change teams. Just adapt and deal with it or die. That's what I got to prove I can do or I can't.
Yes, John Gruden takes over a team that won just 6 games last year in the Raiders. Jeff, he's been out of the sidelines or off the sidelines since 2008, the end of the 2008 season. So, of course, there's going to be talk about, has the game passed John Gruden by?
No way. No way. And I'm going to tell you something, Neil. I watched Coach Vermeil. I was a part of Coach Vermeil making that transition from being out for 13 years and then coming back to the National Football League. I think, you know, you got to understand, John, and, you know, while Coach Vermeil was involved in, you know, covering games and you stay current with the players, you stay current with the teams, you're always going to be a football guy. And John in particular, you know, he had the American Fired Football Coaches Association little deal that he did down in Tampa, where he would bring out of work guys down and they would talk football and discuss the latest things in the game. John Gruden is a football junkie. I've known him since high school. We went to high school together. He is, do not worry about John Gruden being ready to play and to be ready schematically. I think where it'll be different for John is, and I think he started to see this, Neil, the collective bargaining is so different from when he was in the game last. The amount of contact players can have, the amount of time you can be with the players, all of those things have changed. But I think he's an intelligent guy. He's a competitive guy, and he'll adapt to the new, you know, to the new structures.
Yeah, as he says, he will either adapt or die, and the Raiders' chances rest very much on a genuine superstar head coach. One man who's new to the coaching ranks as a head coach is Mike Vrabel of the Tennessee Titans. We caught up with him and worked out that kind of feeling out process between a first-year head coach and his players.
I think as a player, you're always, you know, trying to learn and improve no matter what kind of year you had or what kind of level of play that you had the year before. You're always trying to learn new things. And as a coach, you're always doing that. You're always trying to study and see what might help you win. Different things, different practice schedules, different scheme, different approach. The decisions I make are, you know, what if I was a player? What I think of this schedule? And is this going to help the player, you know, develop and learn and improve?
Yes, Mike Vrabel was a Super Bowl winner as a player. Very hands-on as a coach. Jeff, I was out at the Titans training camp. He's in there doing all of the blocking drills. He wants to be a player still, but he's in a very fortunate position. He takes over a team. Normally, as a head coach, you come in taking over a team with a losing record. These Titans went 9-7 last year, and they won a playoff game at Kansas City.
Yeah, there was a lot of expectation in training camp, going into training camp, that this would be a move that would kind of stimulate the Titans to the next level, particularly offensively, where they were under so much criticism last year for their game plan, and basically the smash mouth approach that they used. I think this is going to be an interesting one to follow, Neil, because, you know, Mike takes that job without a tremendous amount of even coaching experience, because he finished out, you know, a great career with the Patriots, then went on and coached a little bit at Ohio State, a couple years at Ohio State, went to the, you know, O'Brien brought him to the Texans. He really only had 1 year as a coordinator at the Texans, and then gets a head coaching opportunity. So I think he's going to have to grow into this thing. He's got good coaches on his staff. And certainly the Titans hope that he'll, you know, follow in the footprints of a Tony Dungy or a Mike Ditka, an ex-player who was able to stimulate their team and get them to a Super Bowl level.
Jeff, obviously he's a defensive-minded coach, Mike Vrabel. As I said, he was a linebacker, but he's got to bring the best out of Marcus Mariota. And Mariota was strong in the playoffs, but when you look at his whole regular season last year, 13 touchdowns, 15 interceptions. Has he got his franchise quarterback in place, and how key is that to this team this year?
Well, I think so, Neil. You know, again, I've been a Mariota fan for a long time, but I think, you know, when you go back to Mariota's leg injury, when he got hurt, he has not played as well as he did early in his career. And they're hopeful that they're able to revitalize his career, open it up a little bit, use his, you know, he's got dynamic ability to move outside the pocket. And, you know, accuracy had always been his forte, going all the way back to his high school days at St. Louis High School in Honolulu and then the University of Oregon. I think it's going to be interesting to see. For this team to make a run in the playoffs, Neil, I really believe that Mariota has got to play and play extremely well.
Jeff, those are two new coaches entering the 2018 season. Gruden's not that new, of course. But one guy who's returning is Pete Carroll. And when you look at what Pete Carroll lost with the Seattle Seahawks in the offseason, we talked about this around the draft, Michael Bennett, Cliff Averill, Richard Sherman on the defensive side of the ball, Jimmy Graham, Paul Richardson. I mean, it's a lot that they've lost. But Pete Carroll, he must be the most positive man on earth, because when we visited him in training camp, Jeff, he was almost invigorated by a fresh start. Are Seattle out of the playoff mix before this season's even started?
No, I don't think so. And you look at the way they played in preseason, Neil, it's really similar to the way they were when the Legion of Doom or Legion of Boom actually was came on the scene. They're very young. They fly around. They're high energy. They got great team speed. All the things that made them, you know, a really dominant team for about that 4 or 5 year run. I think it's interesting, Neil. There's a shelf life for every message, and there's a shelf life for every messenger. And I think what Seattle has done is they've decided to rip the Band-Aid off and not go through this rebuilding and turning over the roster in a protracted 3 or 4 year schedule. They want to do it all one time, jump into it, make the thing, you know, it's really Russell Wilson's team now. And there's no question about it. You look at their roster and, you know, they need players like Jermaine Ifedi, who they drafted in the first round. They've got some players now. This is going to be a kind of a no-name Seahawk team. And I think Pete, and you were there at training camp, and so were I, and you know that Pete loves the talent. He loves the chance to create something new. And I think he's energized by the whole thing. Certainly if he's energized, then everybody around him will be energized.
So they kept the message but changed the players in Seattle. We'll see how they fare in 2018. We've got more talk about the NFL when we return in just a few minutes on Inside the Huddle. Okay, I'm very pleased now to be joined by former NFL offensive lineman and a member of the NFL Network crew. It's Brian Balding, a friend of the show. Brian, thanks for joining us. And before, I want to get your reactions right away from some breaking news we've had on Inside the Huddle. Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, has signed a 4-year contract extension worth $134 million. So Rodgers has got a $57.5 million signing bonus. He's going to get paid $80 million by next March. So Baldy, he becomes the new highest paid quarterback in NFL history. It started the offseason. Jimmy Garoppolo, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan. Has Rodgers rightly taken top spot?
Yeah, I think it's right. It's rightfully so. I mean, I think he's better than all those players. But, I mean, I think Green Bay just had to make that commitment and get him locked up. And so it's not a distraction. It's not something that the reporters want to ask about every day. He doesn't have to worry about it anymore. And, you know, for as long as Aaron Rodgers is going to play football, it looks like he's going to play in Green Bay. And that's a good thing for the Packers. It's a good thing for the league. And it's especially good for Aaron Rodgers right now.
Was it inevitable, do you think, when we saw Jimmy G become the top paid player, then Kirk Cousins, and I know it's a progression. Was there an air of inevitability about this as the summer progressed?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a matter. It's just a question of when, Neil. It was going to get done. You know, the numbers are staggering for anybody watching this and listening to this. But at the same time, you know, when Kirk Cousins got the guaranteed money in Minnesota, that kind of set the bar. Mm. Jimmy G was right behind him. Matt Ryan happened this summer. And so none of these players, none of the agents and teams want to deal with this during the season. It's best to get it done now. You can put it behind them and they can concentrate just on getting ready to play football. But I think Aaron Rodgers, you know, where he stands in this league right now, how he's respected, how important he is to the Packers and to the NFL, I just think it was just a matter of time right now.
So why does, if all this money's being thrown at quarterbacks, why does Tom Brady have to earn $5 million worth of incentives for the New England Patriots this year, which will just take him to $18 million per season, which is Blake Bortles' money?
I'm not quite sure, because we're never really quite sure about how the Patriots work. We don't know if Tom Brady's going to get a balloon payment when he's 60, and, you know, he can buy another planet with the money that they're going to owe him. We don't know how much the head coach makes in New England. We're never really quite sure. It's just sort of the Patriot way. I don't know if the numbers that you read off of, you know, some kind of a website really marry what is really Tom Brady is really making or what he's going to be owed. He always seems to be doing quarterback-friendly contracts, which allow them to go out and sign other players. It seems like that has been the modus operandi for Tom Brady for as long as he's been a Patriot. But we've never seen a contract like this thrown at Tom Brady, which he certainly deserves. If you mention the company of the other quarterbacks that we have today, he certainly deserves more than all those players for what he has done. So I don't know that what we read about with Tom Brady is what is really thrown his way in some ways.
So we know that Aaron Rodgers is rightly the highest paid quarterback in NFL history now. Odell Beckham Jr. signed a 5-year contract worth $95 million with the New York Giants. $65 million of that was guaranteed, becoming the highest paid wide receiver in NFL history. Does he deserve to be above Antonio Brown, Julio Jones? What did you make of OBJ's deal, which again has been talked about all summer long?
Well, you know, he's been a star. He's put up, you know, 38 touchdowns in 47 games. He's coming off a broken ankle. But he's the star in New York. He's the face of that franchise. I mean, Eli Manning, his 15th year, he's not going to be there that much longer, but Odell probably will be. And so he's been on his best behavior. Is he better than Antonio Brown? I wouldn't say he's better than him, but it's the next man up. And so I'm sure that whoever is going to be up next up, they will outdo that contract when it comes time. But right now, he's got to go perform on the contract. The spotlight's on him. He relishes the spotlight. He changes the game when the game needs to be changed. He can change it in an instant. He has done that. And I think this new offense that Pat Shurmur is running with a rebuilt offensive line is going to be good for Odell. He's got a lot of other players that are going to benefit, I think, by this offense. Play action passes. I don't think that he'll catch 100 passes in his life in this offense right now, but he's still going to catch a lot of touchdown passes.
So Rodgers gets his deal, OBJ gets his deal, but there are several notable players who are holding out for long-term contracts. Let's remind ourselves of some famous names who are in dispute with their teams at the moment. Earl Thomas, the safety of the Seattle Seahawks. Aaron Donald, the all-pro defensive tackle for the Los Angeles Rams. Khalil Mack, the defensive end for the Oakland Raiders. And Le'Veon Bell, who's going to play under that franchise tag, the running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Baldy, I mentioned those four names right there. We've heard some trade rumors surrounding Earl Thomas, specifically with the Dallas Cowboys, but now Khalil Mack as well. I mean, are any of those real alarm bells for you with those players? We're so close to the season now.
Well, yeah. I mean, as far back as when I played, when we just played for shekels here, Neil, the only real leverage a player had, if he had a contract that all these players have, the only leverage you had if you wanted a new deal was to withhold your services. And then it was really a game whether the team valued you the same way that you valued yourself. And so that's what these players are using right now. The leverage that they're a much better team with Earl Thomas, Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, and these players playing for them than they are without them. And so it just depends on if a team is going to step up and take the guaranteed contracts, the franchise tag off a guy like Le'Veon Bell and give him a new deal. And I understand it because what you mentioned with Aaron Rodgers and Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins was guaranteed money. And that's the big deal in this league. Guaranteed money is as close to a guaranteed contract as we get in the NFL. And so there's only one that I know of so far, and that was Kirk Cousins, fully guaranteed contract. It's changing, but the guaranteed money is what it's all about. So that if there is an injury, if something does happen, unfortunately, to any of these players, then they have something that they can really kind of rely on. And so that's what this is all about right now, is guaranteed money. And I would be worried right now if I was Seattle, who's in transition, if I was Khalil Mack, and that team is in transition under John Gruden. I think Aaron Donald will get signed, and it looks like Le'Veon Bell is going to show up.
Do you think one is waiting for the other when you look at Aaron Donald and Khalil Mack? Does that happen?
I think so. I think, you know, both of them have been reigning defensive player of the year. Khalil Mack in 2016. 2017, it was Aaron Donald. So if Aaron Donald gets signed here with the Los Angeles Rams in the next week, and I think he will, then I think Khalil Mack's going to take that contract into Mark Davis of the Oakland Raiders, the owner, and he's going to say, this is what Aaron Donald got. This is what I want. And whether it's a dollar more or a dollar less, it's going to be probably in the neighborhood. And then it's a question of whether the Raiders value him at that dollar amount. But I think that's what's happening between those two players.
Can we expect any of those four, if they do sign in the next day or so, to perform at top level going into week one? I'm thinking of Le'Veon Bell. Last year, he held out So the weekend before the season got off to a slow start.
You're right. And Mike Tomlin, the head coach of Pittsburgh, has reminded him of that publicly, that he wasn't in the game shape that he needed to be in. And it's hard to be in game shape if you haven't been playing football. But I do remember 1984, Neil, the best defensive tackle in football was Randy White. I was a teammate of Randy's that year. He held out all training camp just to put a big sign in his locker saying he went fishing. And then we opened up against the Rams on Monday night in Anaheim, and he showed up on Sunday night at the hotel, and he played Monday night, and he was the most dominant player on the field. Now, you can't always, you know, wish that that's what's going to happen. I think all these players benefit by being in training camp. What you hope that happens is that injuries sometimes happen when players hold out for a long time. You hope that these players have been in great shape and they can get into football shape as quickly as possible.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Baldy. Looking forward to having you be a part of this show going forward this season.
My pleasure, Neil. You got it. Anytime.
Rejoining me on Inside the Huddle now is my regular partner, Jeff Reinbold, and we're going to look ahead and make our predictions for week one of the NFL season. So Jeff and I make our predictions every week. We do keep score. I let Jeff win last year, so Jeff, you've got to let me win this year. Let's start with the opening game then, Thursday night into next Friday morning, the Atlanta Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles. As I said, Jeff, earlier, there's been some worries for the defending Super Bowl champs offensively, but I was at the Falcons and Jags preseason game as well, and Atlanta have got some work to do on the offensive side of the ball. Who do you like in this one and why?
Well, I'm going to take the Eagles. I just really believe that the problems that they've had offensively, and particularly with Foles, I don't think Foles played very well in the preseason, but I think those are all, you know, things that they'll overcome, and I think that the top to bottom, they have a better roster.
I actually like the Falcons, Jeff, in this game, and I like this Falcons team generally. They were the team that gave the Eagles the most problems in the playoffs last year. They were a Julio Jones catch away from winning at Lincoln Financial Field. So I'm going to go Atlanta. I do like the way they're developing on defense.
Well, you know what? They can run, and that's the number one thing. Key thing, though, Neil, is what you talked about, Julio Jones. Are they going to be able to get Julio Jones going? And Sarkisian's under the microscope as an offensive coordinator in Atlanta.
So we're one pick in and we're different already. That's what we like. I want some breathing space. Let's see if we can continue that. Our first game on Sky Sports on Sunday night is the Minnesota Vikings at the San Francisco 49ers. So we've got two very much talked about quarterbacks in the offseason, Jeff, Jimmy Garoppolo of the 49ers. And the Vikings, Kirk Cousins. Who do you like?
I like the Vikings, but I like the Vikings only because I think they have a better defense. I think Cousins is still finding his way offensively there. But on the other side of it, Neil, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, if he can continue the magic that he showed at the end of the season, I think San Francisco is going to be a team to be reckoned with. But I'll take the Vikings in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to take Minnesota as well. I think San Francisco are going to be improved this year, and they've certainly been the trendy pick, haven't they, Jeff? But I think they're certainly not top to bottom as good as the Vikings yet.
I agree with you. I think if you look at the total roster, which you have to, you got to give the nod to the Vikings.
All right, let's move on to more Sunday games. The Pittsburgh Steelers against the Cleveland Browns. Again, the Browns are under that microscope, Jeff. Of course, a team that went 0-16 last season. So we don't know what's going to be happening in the state of Le'Veon Bell. But again, Pittsburgh's still a better team, aren't they? I mean, I'm going to take Pittsburgh in this one.
Yeah, I thought Big Ben looked sharp in the little bit of preseason work that he had. I think he was 15-18 throwing a ball, and he looked like, you know, he was comfortable in the pocket. I thought that they played better defensively in preseason towards the end of preseason, which is going to be the key in Pittsburgh. Remember, this is a 13-3 Pittsburgh Steelers team. You know, that Mike Tomlin takes a lot of his flack for not winning Super Bowls, but this is a good football team. So I think certainly that Pittsburgh will take this one.
All right, let's keep moving along with the Sunday games. The Buffalo Bills at the Baltimore Ravens. One rookie quarterback, first rounder, Lamar Jackson, maybe kicking his heels on the sidelines, but the other, Josh Allen, do we expect him to start for the Buffalo Bills?
Well, you know what? I think that is a hot, hot topic right now. I would go with McCarron, you know, just watching Josh Allen play in that last preseason game. But regardless who's playing quarterback in Buffalo, Neil, they got to protect the passer because it was ugly last week. The Bengals defensive lineman just totally dominated the Bills. I think this is going to be an interesting game. I think you're going to see a little bit of Lamar Jackson. I think you're going to see some special packages out of Baltimore. And again, I'm going to give Baltimore a nod on this.
Yeah, I think the Ravens are a team we almost write off for not being that exciting, Jeff, but they're always competitive under John Harbaugh. I'm going to go Baltimore as well. Maybe this is a team we should give a bit more credit because they're always there or thereabouts.
I agree. They're a team that you don't think about when you start thinking about the elite teams. But doggone it, when you get to November, they're always knocking on the door.
Let's move on to the Cincinnati Bengals at the Indianapolis Colts. The long, long, long-awaited return of Andrew Luck. He didn't play all of last year. Jeff, you know I'm partial to a little bit of number 12. I really want to pick the Colts, but I'm not sure I'm going to. So I'm going to let you go first.
Well, I think, obviously the number one thing with Luck is he's back and he took hits in preseason and showed that he's healthy. That shoulder's been, a long time coming to get him back to where he can play. I just don't know if the Colts right now, Neil, I don't know if the Colts have, they are about 2 years away, in my opinion, in terms of building a roster around him that gives him enough weapons. And the defense has got to play well enough that they don't get into, every game's a scoring game like they've played in the past. So I think the Colts are a little bit a ways yet.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. I'm going to pick the Cincinnati Bengals. I think they upgraded their offensive line. John Ross looks really exciting, the wide receiver who kind of went missing in year one. He's been exciting in the preseason. And the Colts, they're in a long rebuild, and they're not doing it with free agency. They're doing it through the draft. So I'm going to go Bengals as well. Let's move on to Houston at New England. Jeff, we've got a number of returning superstars who were out last year. Of course, J.J. Watt back for the Houston Texans, but we're all going to be looking at Deshaun Watson as he takes on a Patriots team that has, I don't want to say flat out been in dissent or disarray in the offseason, but it's a lot more than we're used to in New England.
Yeah, I think there's so many cracks now that you're starting to see, Neil, that you go through Edelman's suspension, the Brady not being there in OTAs and mini camps, and all of the things that are just so non-Patriot. There has to be some substance to it. And I think that Bill O'Brien, an ex, a Belichick assistant, going back in there with a staff that's loaded with, New England guys with New England backgrounds, and as healthy as they are right now, I think this will be the first kind of upset of the year, if you will. And I'm going to take the Texans.
Wow. Well, I was going to try and be different and do that. So I'm going to say that Brady will calm all the nerves. New England always find a way to win. They only just beat the Texans at home last year. A late touchdown pass from Tom Brady to Brandon Cooks, who is no longer there. So I'm going to go New England to win that one. You've gone Texans. Let's move on to, this is a good one for week one, Jacksonville at the New York Giants. Jalen Ramsey had his say on all of the quarterbacks of the NFL during the preseason, very controversially, very amusingly in some cases. I'm not sure he was overly harsh on Eli Manning. Does he shut down Eli Manning as Jacksonville traveled to New York?
Yeah, I think that Jacksonville defense is just too good. When you look at them at every level, Neil, they've got Pro Bowl players, they've got dynamic speed at every level. They can, they've got great depth in the defensive line. They can roll pass rushers at you. I think the Giants are going to be an improved football team, and I'm really, really what Saquon Barkley is able to do. I think he's the best player in the draft. And I think, Nate Solder at left tackle and Hernandez, those are all positive moves for the Big Blue. But I really just think that Jacksonville's too good a football team and too good a defense.
Yeah, I have ongoing concerns, and I think most Jags fans do, about Blake Bortles. He signed a 3-year contract extension during the offseason. Jeff, he was shaky during preseason action, very up and down in the game that I saw against the Falcons, threw a couple of interceptions. So I have some worries about Blake Bortles, but I'm also going to pick the Jags. Let's move on to an NFC South battle, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the New Orleans Saints. Saints came pretty close last year to making a Super Bowl run, but Tampa Bay, Jeff, are going to be without Jameis Winston for the first 3 weeks of the season. He's suspended for kind of off-the-field activities and indiscretions. So Ryan Fitzpatrick, can he lead the Bucs to a victory in New Orleans?
No, I don't think so. New Orleans is too good at home. They play when they get in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. They're just, it is a tough, tough place to play. You know, Tampa Bay, I think, you know, I just don't, I'm not sold on Tampa Bay. I know they went out and spent a lot of money and did a lot of things in free agency trying to upgrade a defense that was woeful last year. But in my opinion, I think that they're still a second-tier team in that division. And I think New Orleans has a lot of weapons, and Drew Brees still playing at a high level.
Yeah, no Mark Ingram for the Saints for the first month of the season. They've still got Alvin Kamara and, of course, Drew Brees, who signed that two-year contract extension in the offseason. I'm with you, Jeff. I'm going Saints all the way at home. Let's move on to Tennessee at Miami. Sell it to me, Jeff. How do the Dolphins win this one?
I know. You know what? You got to stop being so negative about your football. You know, obviously, I think they can. I think Tannehill's got to play well. You know, this is a big year for Adam Gase. They went out and you know, really let Sue go. They let a lot of good football players go. This is now really Adam's team. And I think, you know, for them, they have to start well early. But I just don't see, when I watched them play in the preseason, Neil, I just didn't see the dynamic offense that you look for. And you know, if Tannehill doesn't get it done this year, it may be the end of him in Miami.
So you going Tennessee?
I'm going to take Tennessee. And I think that, you know, Tennessee will shake out of that doldrums that they were offensively. I think they've got a good defense. You know, they just traded last week to get Kamale Correa, who, interestingly enough, is a little bit of a Mike Vrabel clone. You know, one of those big physical linebacker, kind of a defensive end, kind of a linebacker. And I think Vrabel will take, you know, full advantage of his unique skill set.
Miami will welcome back Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. They've got Kenyon Drake at running back. So there's some options there on the offensive side of the ball. But you didn't sell it to me, Jeff. I'm going Titans. Let's move on to the Kansas City Chiefs at the Los Angeles Chargers. So it's a Chargers team, Jeff, that went and won six of their last seven in the 2017 regular season. For me, this is all eyes are on Patrick Mahomes, because they gave up a lot to get him last year. They sat him on the bench, let him learn from Alex Smith, and then they willingly traded away a Pro Bowl quarterback in Smith. So, of course, Mahomes is firmly in the spotlight for the Chiefs.
No question, Neil. And you know what? When they traded away Alex Smith, I thought to myself, what guy got, you know, to get a long-term commitment from his organization? Because Alex Smith played great quarterback in Kansas City. But Mahomes is the future there. And, coming out of Texas Tech, you know, obviously the kid's got the big arm and throw the ball, you know, out of the stadium. But, you know, I wondered, would he be able to handle as complex an offense as Andy Reid runs? Watched him in preseason play twice, and I came away a guy that was convinced. I think he has an understanding of what Andy wants. He does add the deep ball dynamic arm. You know, that he's got Tyreek Hill, probably the fastest player in the NFL to throw to. They have so many weapons in Kansas City. I just really feel like, you know, Kansas City has the ability to outscore people, and that's a unique, you know, quality for a football team to have. So I'm going to take the Chiefs.
All right, you're taking the Chiefs. I am a believer in Phillip Rivers. I'm a believer in the Chargers and how they finished last year. I love what the Chiefs have built around Patrick Mahomes, but I think with this game being played in LA, with the Chargers trying to win over the fans there, I think the Chargers can start where they left off last year. So I'm picking the Chargers to win that one. Let's move on to our second game on Sky Sports on Sunday night. It's the Dallas Cowboys at the Carolina Panthers. And Jeff, I know this team with the Cowboys. It's about Ezekiel Elliott, and it's about Dak Prescott and what he can do off of Zeke setting up the run to set up the pass. But who's catching the passes for Dallas? Because there's no Jason Witten. There's no Dez Bryant. I have serious concerns about Dallas's passing game weapons.
Well, you know, obviously one of the guys that's going to have to fill that void is going to be Cole Beasley. But Cole Beasley, as much as I love the guy, he's a guy that's a role player. He's not a number one. And I don't see a Cowboy player at that position that, you know, can evolve into being that number one guy. And remember now, Neil, they're playing against one of the better front sevens in the National Football League. Carolina is nasty up front on defense. So I think Carolina will win this game. And I'm really anxious to see the growth, or, you know, how much Cam Newton has been able to buy into Norv Turner's system and what they're going to do with him. I think you'll see a much, much better Cam Newton under North Turner.
Yeah, that's the fascinating thing for me, Jeff. I'm going to pick the Panthers as well. I think the Panthers win this game in week one against the Dallas Cowboys. But how much has Cam Newton grown? How much will Cam Newton look like a pocket passer? Because North Turner, of course, you don't want to make Cam a pocket passer. He's an offensive weapon who can run and pass. But North Turner said he wants to make Cam a guy who completes 67, 68% of his passes. That has not been Cam Newton. So that's going to be something that's going to be interesting to watch early in the season.
No question. You know, Cam's always been a great deep ball thrower all the way back from his days at Auburn. But, you know, now he's got McCaffrey, you know, to go with Olsen. And I think that he will now take advantage of the play action game, which they really didn't do very much with. The hole to me right now in Carolina, when you look at Carolina, is how well are they going to be able to handle protection and run the ball up front? Because I think if there's a liability in Carolina, it's in that offensive line.
Yeah, Panthers lost Andrew Norwell, their all-pro guard as well during the offseason. He joined the Jacksonville Jaguars. Let's move on to the Seattle Seahawks at the Denver Broncos. So we've talked a lot about Seattle and what they've lost, Jeff. They still have Russell Wilson, of course, but they take on a Denver team that fell through the floor last year at the end of the year, but they have their franchise quarterback, for now, they feel, in Case Keenum.
Yeah, but you know what, Neil, when you watch Case, at least personally, when I watch Case play in preseason, you know, he didn't look like he was at sync at all with what they were doing offensively. And I just think that Denver is a tough, tough situation right now. Vance Joseph is learning how to be a head coach, you know, while he's doing it. That's not an easy situation. They're coming, you know, they're still 3 years out of being a Super Bowl champion. There's a high expectation level on defense. Now, they've still got some players on defense. But, you know, I'm with the Broncos, I'm kind of in a prove-it mode with them. I think Seattle will go in there and play, you know, like Pete says, they'll let it rip and play without, you know, worrying about what the score is. Just go out and play football. And I think this is a chance for Seattle to upset a team on the road.
I think Seattle are going to be much more competitive than certainly the naysayers have suggested during the offseason, Jeff. Pete Carroll prides himself in competition, as we mentioned earlier. The message is the same. The enthusiasm is still there, and they have a top five quarterback in a quarterback-driven league in Russell Wilson. So I'm going to say Seahawks win on the road as well. Let's move on to Washington at Arizona. And, Jeff, for me, I'm going to have all eyes on the running backs because I know Alex Smith is there now with the Redskins. But they recently signed Adrian Peterson after losing their second-round draft pick, Darius Geis, early in the preseason. And, of course, Arizona are going to welcome back David Johnson. This is an interesting matchup of the running backs here.
I think that Arizona will win the game if David Johnson can get 25 touches. Now, he doesn't have to get them all running the football because he is very good out of the backfield, too. But I think for them to move the ball well enough, And I think we'll see a lot of Josh Rosen. And I think that, you know, to help a young quarterback, get the ball to your tight ends, get the ball to your back. You know, David Johnson is the key here. I think Darius Geis' loss, Neil, is crippling to the Redskins. Mm. And, you know, I've always been an AP fan. But, you know, you're talking about a guy who's well past his prime. And for him to get, you know, for him to have to put an offense on his shoulders, which he may have to, you know, I think that's a tall ask.
I'm with you, Jeff, and the game's being played in Arizona, so I'm going to say that the Cardinals win that one in the desert. And so I think Arizona get the win. Let's move on to Sunday Night Football on Sky Sports. The Chicago Bears at the Green Bay Packers. This one oozes tradition, Jeff. Two of the oldest teams in the NFL, the oldest rivalry in the NFL, and, of course, I think this Bears team, Jeff, is now ready to make at least a little bit of noise in the NFC North.
I don't think there's any question, Neil. You know, they've done a great job of Trubisky's a fine young quarterback. They've gone out and put talented players around him. The defense, the Bears defense, I think, is a little bit underrated. I think they've got some quality players on defense. If you were going to pick any game to say there was a new fan in the UK or anywhere in the world, say you want to watch an NFL game, this would be one that you'd want them to watch just because of history, the tradition, the way these two teams don't like each other. This is a great game to on Sky Sports. But key thing with Green Bay, we got to go back all the time. It seems like we're always talking about this when you talk about Green Bay. Are they going to be good enough on defense? I watched them in preseason. They've got some talented young secondary kids. But until they show me, I'm just not buying in. I think the Bears have a chance to upset the Packers in week one.
Oh, you picking that?
I'm picking it.
Oh, yes. I'm going Green Bay. Never bet against Aaron Rodgers, especially at Lambeau. I'm going Green Bay, just gone Chicago. Let's finish off before he changes his mind with Monday Night Football. Both these games are on Sky Sports. Let's start with the New York Jets at the Detroit Lions. And, of course, Matt Patricia's debut as head coach in Detroit, Jeff. How do you see this one playing out?
Well, how much did you watch? Did you watch the Lions a lot in preseason? I sure did, and I was not impressed. I think they're a long way away from being ready to be a good football team. They started to run the ball a little bit, Neil, which is a big step for the Lions. Obviously, you got Stafford, so you got a chance. But I can't pick the Lions. I just did not feel in preseason that they were, you know, playing the kind of football that they're going to need to play. I hope that happens, but this is a team that is in a long way from being a good football team.
All right, so you're going Jets then, Jeff?
I did. I'm going to tell you something. Darnold shocked me, really, in preseason. Mm. You know, I thought he played much, much better than I anticipated he would. Teddy Bridgewater had a great training camp. I think that, you know, when you look at that Jets team, as depleted as that roster was last year, for them to play as competitively as they did for Todd Bowles, I think says an awful lot about his coaching and how those players, you know, enjoy playing for him. So I'm going to take the Jets.
I think the Jets are going to be a very competitive team this year, Jeff. I think they might even have a winning record, but I think starting on the road against Detroit, that's a tough ask for them. I think if Detroit were in the AFC, we'd have a much better opinion of them because the NFC is so loaded. But I'm going to pick the Lions. So let's finish off then with the out west, the Rams, led by Sean McVay, this young offensive whiz kid of a coach, against the Oakland Raiders, who welcome back John Gruden, of course. Jeff, the Rams are certainly one of the busiest teams of the offseason, one of the hot picks going into this season. I can tell you now, I'm going to pick the Rams to win this one, but it's an exciting and intriguing matchup to round out week one.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. I think by the time that game's played, we may have Aaron Donald under contract, and I think if that happens, that's a real positive for them. Look, that defense, Neil, when you go through that defense, what Wade has at his disposal is a little bit scary. And, you know, I think that that's going to be the thing that will make them a real Super Bowl contender. You know, your quarterback continues to get better. They've got great skill. You know, Whitworth and Sully and all those guys in the offensive line are veterans, and they'll do a great job. So I think the Rams will play outstanding special teams. I don't think there's any weakness in that football team, and I think the Rams are one of my preseason favorites to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, so those are our picks for week one. Let's just mark your card about what we've got coming up on Sky Sports in the coming days, starting next Wednesday, September the 5th, a one-hour TV special of Inside the Huddle featuring the guys from the Around the NFL podcast, Rob Ryan, Solomon Wilcox, and, of course, Jeff Reinbold. We'll be talking all about week one in the NFL, and we've got those games for you on Sky Sports Thursday night into Friday morning next week. The Atlanta Falcons at the Philadelphia Eagles starts at 12:30 on Sky Sports Action. Sunday, September the 9th, we're on air at 5 p.m. on Sky Sports Action. We've got San Francisco against Minnesota, Dallas against Carolina, and Chicago against Green Bay. Then we finish off week one on Monday night with the New York Jets against the Detroit Lions and the Los Angeles Rams against the Oakland Raiders. My thanks, of course, to Jeff Reinbold and Brian Baldinger on today's Inside the Huddle. And Jeff, you always wish the warm viewers a warm goodbye. You going to do that again for us?
Absolutely. Aloha.